the Defense Department is looking at programs to cut back or kill because of budget pressures. And when you get the work to term, when you get the job to the notice to terminate your program, you can't just turn it off. The Defense Acquisition University's Smart Shutdown Guidebook tells you how to shut down the right way. John Adams is director of the Specialty Engineering Education and Training Program and professor of Acquisition Program Management and Systems Engineering at the Defense Acquisition University. My guest on Pentagon Solutions, sponsored by Augusta Westland today. John, it's terrific to have you on the program, despite my best efforts to explain it poorly bringing you on. The Smart Shutdown Guide strikes me as especially important as the Pentagon tries to pull budgets back. I mentioned that you can't just turn them off. What were the steps that took you to a place where you said, you know, people really need to have some guidance as to how to terminate a program the right way?
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to tell the story here with this. We started this effort back at DAU a number of years ago, back in 2009, when we started looking at the different ways that we have in the DAU to be able to help the program management activities, the defense acquisition workforce, and the job that they do. And DAU does a lot of work in working with programs that once they are established and helping them get established. But there was a recognized need back in 2009 as we looked forward that the next environment, the next several years of the environment were going to be a little bit sparser than they were prior to that. And one of the areas in DAU that we did not actually have any tool set or way to reach out and touch the acquisition workforce was, what does a program manager do once he gets that notice that his program has been terminated or is being truncated in some way, shape, or form? We started looking at some research in the acquisition policies and found that there was not very much available to the program managers at that point, and the decision was made that what could we do to be able to reach out and assist the program managers once they got that word that they were going to be terminated.
Now, you've referenced program managers a number of times. Are they the only stakeholders involved in a termination or a truncation, or are they the only stakeholders that you address in particular?
The Smart Shutdown program addresses not only what the program managers would do, but we've identified in a program six particular lanes or areas that need to be considered and need to be addressed, and that's not just the program manager, but your logistics folks, your contracting folks, your budget folks. So it spans the entire spectrum of your program leadership.
Is there a difference in procedure or recommendations or training for a termination as opposed to a program that's either altered significantly or scaled down?
Well, that's a great point, and one we recognized early on as we were looking at the model or the construct of the Smart Shutdown program is we could not put together for any program manager a prescriptive how-to slot A that goes into slot B type of directive on an initiative with this, but because there are so many different types of shutdowns or closures or closing a particular contract out, or as you said, not closing an entire program, but terminating a portion of a program, that a prescriptive type of a checklist mentality program was not going to do. So what we looked at is to try and find a way that we could give that program manager a foundation or a starting point, no matter what type of termination or what type of drawdown or closeout it was going to be. So it wasn't a checklist mentality, but it was rather a tool that could provide a framework for that program manager, the first thing he needed to do for the critical thinking that he had to do in order to effectively address the areas that need to be considered for, planned for, and acted on as you draw down a program.
John Adams of the Defense Acquisition University is my guest on Pentagon Solutions today. Now, there are six primary areas of the shutdown process that you write about in this guide, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, John. One of them is personnel, and I imagine that's probably the trickiest one because you have a number of things. You don't get the note that you're going to terminate a program today and do it tomorrow. So there's a kind of a roll-up time that's involved, I imagine. And I would think that could be very difficult morale-wise for the people that have been working on something for a certain period of time to know that that time is coming to an end.
And that's exactly correct. And one of the major considerations we have is the personnel realignment and what you do with your personnel, not only your core personnel or your military but your civilian personnel that you may have matrixed into your program, and even to the extent of what do you do with your contract personnel. And we've had with this program, we've done a number of senior level defense in a senior defense level interviews with our folks, and to a T, every one of them started out with the personnel aspect. The personnel regime is the most important that you need to look at as you close down a program, because that is the most important asset, and those are the folks that are going to other programs. And one of the issues with that was, how do you relay to your personnel in a program that that the program shutdown is not a reflection of them? It is not personal. And that's one of the hardest things that the leadership in a program has got to address, but it's one of the most critical, and one that they devote a number of policies toward and attention to as they look at a closeout.
I know it's nowhere near a parallel, but in a past life, I was an employee at a retail store that we learned was going to go out of business, and the special activities that the company undertook to say, hey, we want you to stick around because it's not your fault, just as you just alluded to, John, and we need you for this period of time to get this work done. What can we do to make that more comfortable? Went a long way toward the effective close of that situation, and I imagine it's the same thing in a case like this, especially when you want to move the good people that you have to other parts of the department and have them continue to do the good work that they've done, just in a different way.
We've seen with each one of the programs that we have had some initiated some contact with, and that we've had some in the some degree of assistance with, that that key personnel drawdown list is one of the first critical activities that needs to be done by your program leadership to make sure you do keep those key folks through the actual tasks that they need to perform. And as we say in the defense, you know, jumping ship type of thing doesn't negatively impact the shutdown. So that key personnel drawdown list is one of the key considerations that we have identified in the program guidebook itself.
The other primary areas of consideration: technology, facilities, hardware, software, program security, that's all one. Contracts and budget. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but I want to touch on another one of these that I think can be particularly tricky, and that's the operational capability and requirement. And you say straight out, programs are terminated for various reasons. In many cases, though, the requirement hasn't gone away. And so the meeting the need of the warfighter or the end user, in the depending what the case of the program is, may still be important. And why is that significant? Why is that an area that you focus on, John?
Well, that requirement determination for the making a determination to shut down a program is something that the key leadership would take into effect as they make that decision to address a program and cause some sort of a modification or a shutdown of the program. But from the program manager's perspective, that requirement, again, we don't, in the military or the DOD, we don't embark on any acquisition program without a requirement from the user to have that program in effect. And as you said, that requirement does not disappear once the program does. So the leadership from the program management area looks at the requirement and where that requirement may be able to be transferred to or picked up by another system or technology, that it's in alignment with the technology realignment as to where some of the technologies to meet the requirement may be satisfied through other programs or being able to transfer your technology from your program to other programs to pick those up. So the identification and understanding that the requirement is still there and looking at a portfolio review to understand where you may be able to add other requirements to other programs to be able to supplement what you are now terminating is a key issue with the shutdown and effective shutdown of a program.
The Smart Shutdown Guidebook, available through the Defense Acquisition University, and we have more information about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You mentioned, John, you've been at this since 2009. This information's been available, and you've been refining it and adding to it and so on. Do you have opportunities now where you can look back and you can say somebody followed this stuff and it paid off and we saw the benefits we hoped to see when we first initiated this concept?
We're in the process of doing that now. We've engaged already with over the years with about 20 different organizations, 20 different programs. And to the effect of how effective the smart shutdown was, we have received anecdotal evidence from the program leadership that it was a very helpful tool to be able to get them to focus on what the planning process was and some of the issues associated with the technology development facility shutdown. But being able to put a metric to it as to how many dollars we may have saved, we're not there yet with that.
John, it's terrific to have you on the program to talk about this. Congratulations on this, and I thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being able to talk with us on this subject.